Well, welcome back to Bible study. This is our seventh lesson in going through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, an overview. And so after today, we will be finished with the book of Genesis, and we will move a little faster through many of the other books. But Genesis, I believe, is one of the most important books because it is the beginning. From the creation to humanity, you find judgment in the flood. We are introduced to Abraham, and then we are introduced to his son, Isaac. Isaac begets the next son in the progression of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we talked about last week, Isaac and Jacob, and today we will finish the book of Genesis by talking about the favored son of Jacob. So, as we discussed, Jacob went to a place his mother and father sent him, where his mother was from. Abraham did not want Isaac to marry women from the area. There was probably some characteristics and traits that they did not want their son to marry. So they sent the servant of Abraham to go and find who would marry Isaac. And whenever it was time for Jacob to find a wife, Esau married women from the area, and Jacob and Rebekah did not like his wife. There's characteristics. So they sent Jacob to find a wife from where Rebekah was from. Jacob goes there. He meets who will be his future father-in-law, Laban. And he makes a deal with Laban. I'll work 7 years for you and I'll marry Rachel. He works 7 years, has the wedding, wakes up the next morning. He has not married Rachel, but has in fact married Leah. Bad deal. So he talks to Laban, "You have deceived me." And Laban says, "Okay, work 7 more years and you can marry Rachel." So Jacob works 14 years and marries Rachel. And from these two women, eventually he will have 12 sons. So Leah is one that he married that he didn't choose. She has many more children than Rachel. In fact, Rachel only has 2 sons. And at the time where we're going to talk about Joseph, Joseph is the oldest and the firstborn of the child between Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel. Jacob and Rachel have a son named Joseph. He's the youngest of the 11. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was greatly favored of his father, Jacob, Israel. And he was so favored that his father gave him a special garment. The Bible calls it a coat of many colors. And it's given that to cause us to know. He essentially wraps his favored son in a royal robe. And as you can imagine, if you had a 10 other brothers, they would not be pleased with the circumstance. And so they hated Joseph. And not only did Joseph favored of his father, but Joseph was given to dreams. He had a dream where he was a sheaf and all of his brothers were sheaves. It's a stalk of wheat, a sheaf of wheat. And his sheaf was standing up and all of the brothers' sheaves bowed down to Joseph's sheaf. I had a dream. Y'all all were bowing down before me. I'm sure that didn't help the situation. He had a dream where he and his brother are all stars and their stars revolve around him. And his mother and father were the earth and the moon, and they revolved around him. So it was not peace between Joseph and his brothers. So one day Joseph is going to sit to the field, and his brothers see him, and they conspire to kill Joseph. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. The sons of Jacob so hate Joseph that they all together are going to kill Joseph, who they know their father loves. Reuben, the oldest, realized this, we can't do this. So he conspires to save Joseph and talks them into selling him as a slave. And so they put him in a pit. And while Reuben is trying to figure out how to rescue Joseph, the brothers see a band of slave traders, and they take their brother Joseph and sell him as a slave to these slave traders, and they take Joseph to Egypt. He's sold as a slave. Potiphar, who is the captain of the king's guards, purchases Joseph to be a slave. And the Bible tells us that everything that Joseph was put in charge of was blessed, to the point that eventually everything that Potiphar owned, he put it in Joseph's hand, to the point that he didn't even know what he had. He just knew, if Joseph's in charge, I'm blessed. And so he rises in favor, blessing, and no doubt prosperity, serving a faithful servant, serving Potiphar. Well, one day, or at some season, Potiphar's wife is, I guess, falls in love or is greatly attracted to Joseph. And one day, Joseph is in the house. This isn't a two-bedroom, one-bath house. This is a mansion. This is a royal leader of the most powerful man in the world. And Joseph is in the house alone. And this woman, the wife of Potiphar, begins to try to seduce Joseph. And Joseph said, look, my master has given me everything he has, but he hasn't given me you. I will not do this disloyalty to my master, Potiphar. And the woman grabs him by his coat, trying to persuade him. And Joseph just runs out of his coat and runs out of the house. Well, she is so mad at Joseph, she says, I know what I'll do. So when Potiphar comes home, he finds his wife in the bed with the coat of Joseph and accuses Joseph of raping her. Yeah, Potiphar's mad. And he throws Joseph in the prison, in the king's prison. And you'll notice there is a pattern. The same thing that happened with Potiphar. When he's in prison, he becomes a trustee, if you will, and the person over the prison. So everything he gives Joseph to be in charge of, he's blessed. And so eventually, Joseph is in charge of the prison. He's a prisoner, but he's in charge of the prisoner. And I think it's interesting to see what this next story tells us about Joseph. Joseph has been betrayed and sold by his brothers into slavery. But even in slavery, he serves his master as a good servant, and to the point that his master trusts him with all that he has. And I would say that because of Joseph's attitude and faithfulness to his master, this is a bad circumstance. But in a bad circumstance, he's greatly favored. And I would say he probably was one of the most blessed persons in all of Egypt. Though he was a slave, he was favored in this bad situation. What does he get rewarded? He gets falsely accused and gets thrown in prison. But even in prison, Joseph rises to the top. And one day, the king's butler and baker are thrown into prison. And one night, they both have a dream. And they share their dreams with Joseph. And Joseph interprets their dream. He tells the baker, tomorrow you will be executed. He tells the baker, tomorrow you will be restored to your place of being the king's butler. And so the next day happens, the baker is executed and the butler is restored to his place beside the king. And the butler forgets about Joseph. So Joseph continues to serve there in the prison. And one day, Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, has a dream that greatly disturbs him. And he begins to ask his wise men, what does this dream mean? And no one can interpret the dream. But the butler remembers Joseph. So they send for Joseph out of the prison, and he gets a bath. They shave. He's shaved. He gets a new garment, and Joseph comes before the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh tells Joseph the dream. And the dream was that he saw 7 ears of corn, and they were beautiful. They were full. They were bountiful. It was a beautiful crop of this, just a bountiful ears of corn, 7 of them. And then he saw a 7 weak and beggarly and terrible ears of corn, or sheaves of corn. And then he sees 7 cows, just healthy and big and just what you want your cows to look like. And then he sees 7 sickly and skinny cows. And Joseph said, I will give you the interpretation of the dream. The Lord has shown me what this is. The God of heaven has shown me what this is. There's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh says, well, what should I do? And Joseph says, search you out a wise man and put him in charge of taking care of the years of plenty, years of surplus. And then they'll decide how to handle this. And the Pharaoh says, well, I've asked all my wise men, none of them could interpret this dream, so you're going to be the guy. So Joseph comes from the prison and is elevated to being the second most powerful man in the kingdom, and by extension, the second most powerful man in the world. So he goes from being a servant to Potiphar, second man, has control of everything in the house of Potiphar. He's thrown down into prison, but he rises to be second man. He has control of everything in the prison. And then he is elevated to be the second man, second most powerful man. He has control of everything in the kingdom of Pharaoh, of Egypt. And there are 7 years of plenty. And he builds storages and places to store the grain and places to store the fruit. And for 7 years of plenty, they just stock up. They stock up because they know a famine's coming. And sure enough, after 7 years of plenty, there comes a famine. It's not just a local famine. It's a famine in all of the known world. And that famine isn't just in Egypt. The famine reaches all the way to where Joseph's family is, Jacob and Rachel and Leah and all of his brothers. They're hungry, and they have eaten all their food. They've finished all their stores, and so they gather their money together, and the brothers go to Egypt because there's food in Egypt. And so when they get there, as the Lord would have it, they come and find themselves not in front of one of Joseph's lieutenants, but they are in front of Joseph himself. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him because he's dressed like an Egyptian. He is speaking the Egyptian language. He does not reveal himself to them. And so they make a deal, and they give them sacks of grain. And so they load, the servants of Joseph load their camels and donkeys. And he tells them, put their money back in the bag. And so they put the money that they paid for the food back in the bags of food. And they discover after they've left, the money's in the bag. And they're like, oh, this is not good. And so they're a little disturbed by it, and they get back to the house. They tell Jacob, here's the food. We have our money still. And so they live on the food they got from Egypt, from Joseph, until it's running out. And so they gather and they go back to Egypt a second time. And Joseph sells them food, and he causes his servant to put his golden cup in one of the bags. And as they're leaving, as they get a little way down the road, the servants, the soldiers of Joseph come, and they find this cup, and Joseph, is tricking them, and he accuses them of stealing. And so what he does is he takes one of the brothers and holds him hostage and said, when you come back, you got to come back with your younger brother, because they tell him that one of their brothers is dead and that their youngest brother is alive. And so Joseph finds out he has a younger brother. And so he sends them back and said, if you come back, you've got to bring your youngest brother. So the food runs out. They tell Jacob, we've got to take Benjamin with us, or he won't give us food. And he has our other brother. And so Jacob is so distressed because he is still grieving. That's something I left out. Whenever they sold Joseph into slavery, they took his coat and they tore it and they put blood on his coat of favor, his coat of many colors. And they just took that to the coat to Jacob. And Jacob jumped to the conclusion that Joseph was dead. And he grieved. He grieved. He said, I'm going to grieve this till I die. He's still grieving at this time. And so when the Pharaoh says, I want you to send Benjamin with you, Jacob is greatly distressed. I've already lost one of my sons of Rachel. I don't want to lose my second son. But he concedes, and Benjamin comes. And so here are the brothers, the one that he held hostage and the other 11, including Benjamin. And he reveals himself to them that he was, in fact, Joseph. The brothers that was going to kill him, that ended up selling him to slavery, was greatly afraid. He's about to kill us. And Joseph gives us a picture of forgiveness, a picture of wisdom. And he said to his brothers that wanted to kill him, that sold him into slavery, he said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that you might be saved. The Lord allowed all this trouble in my life so that he could use me to save my family. And God positioned Joseph and his act of forgiveness, because he understood that because of their treachery, it simply put him in a position to where he was the second most powerful man in the world. He would have never reached that point of success. He would have never reached that point of purpose. Somebody had to betray him. And in the betrayal, the Lord tested him, and he demonstrated his character. He demonstrated his faith. He demonstrated his virtue. And because that he conducted himself in an honorable way, he rose to become the second most powerful man in the world. And he could look at his brothers and he understood, hey, you meant this for evil, but look what the Lord has done. He's used me. He's blessed me. He's favored me that I can help my family be saved. I can help feed my family. And so when he sends his brothers back, they bring back wagons of blessings, wagons of food, and wagons of good things. And when they get back, they tell Jacob, Joseph is alive, and Jacob doesn't believe it. They said, no, really, really, Joseph is alive. And the Bible says that when Jacob saw the wagons, it's just an incredible story. When Jacob saw the wagons, he knew Joseph is alive. Jacob had lived for decades believing that his favored son had been killed by a lion, that his favored son Joseph was dead. And he finds out decades later that not only is Jacob not dead, not Jacob, Joseph's not dead, but Joseph is a favored, powerful man that has been feeding our family, and now he's sending for us, and he's going to put us in a place of favor in the most powerful kingdom, and we're going to be favored. The dreams of Jacob, the dreams of Joseph came to pass. His brothers bowed down, even as sheaves. Like his dream said, even his father and mother were sustained by his wisdom. And so Jacob and all of their children, they all moved to Egypt. Joseph was a man who experienced such difficulty, such injustice, so many things that just wasn't fair. But Joseph maintained his integrity. He was a man of character, and he didn't allow the wrongs others did to him to cause his attitude to be bad. But he just did the best he could with the circumstances he had. And look how the Lord blessed him. And the lesson is for us, we've all experienced wrong. We've all experienced disappointment. We've all experienced tragedy. It's not if you're going to have trouble, it's when you're going to have trouble. And how we overcome is don't allow those things to color us, to cause us to be bitter or angry or mad or sad. But to pray, Lord Jesus, here I am. Help me, Lord. Help me to be the best person I can be as a servant in the house of Potiphar. Lord, help me to be the best prisoner as I can to be in a prison. And if you will pass the Potiphar test, and you'll pass the prison test, and you'll pass the Pharaoh test, and the ultimate test is he passed forgiving his brother test. And we know about Joseph, and he is such a hero of faith. You know, we only have two chapters about creation, but we have 10 chapters about Joseph. Is that not awesome? One man saved the world because he did what was right, even though everyone else around him did wrong. You don't have to allow other people's evil to make you evil. God can help you be good when everyone around you is doing bad. By the grace of God, of course, God helps us. But there's got to be something inside of us that rejects the bitterness, that rejects the depression and discouragement. It says, by the help and grace of God, I'm going to be the best version of myself I can be in this situation. And I want to encourage you today. I want to be like Joseph, not because I want to be the second most powerful man in the world, and not because I want to be a slave or even be a convict, but I want to be the best version I can be in my circumstance. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, that blesses me. And so here we are. Here we are. We finished the book of Genesis. And I hope that after talking about this, something said, you know, I want to go read the book of Genesis. I encourage you, it's 50 chapters. 50 chapters. How long does it take to read the book of Genesis? About 3 hours. You said 3 hours, that's a long time to read. Well, think about how much time you look at your social media. Think about how much time you listen to music. How much time you spend in the car. You know, do you spend 30 minutes a day in the car? In a matter of 3 days, 30 minutes there and 30 minutes back, you could listen to the whole book of Genesis. And what we've talked about, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. And I've talked about the book of Genesis. This is our 7th lesson, I believe. And about 3.5 hours in doing that and kind of highlighting and bringing up to help you understand the Genesis, because everything that happens in Genesis, it's interconnected all the way through the Bible even until you get to the book of Revelation. There's things, there are threads that pull all the way from Genesis 1 to Genesis 22, all the way from Genesis 2 to Genesis 20, all the way through. And as you study the Word of God, you begin to see the interconnectivity. You know, I've been reading the Bible, I don't know, I'm 53, a long time. And I find something, I learn something in the Word. I see something. Almost every time I will take the time to study, I discover something. I'll see a word. I'll see something. And maybe I should remember it, but it's like, I don't remember seeing that before. And I think that's because the Bible says the Word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes, yes. That went faster than I expected. I pray this has blessed you. It's blessed me. I love the story of Joseph. It is such a beautiful story. It's the story of forgiveness. It's a story about rising above your circumstance and not allowing the evil of others to make you evil, but to just be true to the faith, true to God, true to yourself. When everybody else is less than they should be, doesn't mean you can't be all that God can empower you to be. That's what I want God to do for me. That's what I want God to do for you. Amen. Amen. Well, I love the story of Joseph. I have some notes. I will endeavor to clean these up and to attach these in some way to this video. And I pray you're blessed by it. If you live in the Jackson, Mississippi area, I encourage you to join us at Spring Ridge Pentecostal Church. We're in the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road. Wednesday night service, we start with prayer. Pray for 25, 30 minutes. And then we sing a song, and then we encourage with the Word of God. This Wednesday, 7:30, be there. Sunday starts with prayer at 9:30. Donuts, coffee, 10 o'clock Sunday school, children, adults, even little children. If you don't have your kids in Sunday school, I encourage you. They're learning things that will help them for the rest of their life. 10 o'clock, worship's 10:45. We had an incredible service today. We baptized 3 people for the first time. One of my favorite things to do is to baptize somebody in Jesus' name. My second favorite thing is to pray with someone till they receive the Holy Ghost. That is the born-again experience, water and spirit. If you haven't been baptized, let's get you baptized. Maybe you don't live in the Jackson, Mississippi area. Send me a note. Drop a comment. I will help you find a church that will baptize you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you don't live in the Jackson, Mississippi area, send me a note. Drop a comment. I will help you find someone that will pray with you. I have an evangelist friend that can actually pray with people over the phone and help them receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you want it, it's a promise to you. God wants to give it to you, and it will change your life. So till next time, Joseph. I want to be like Joseph. How about you? God bless you. Have a wonderful night. If you haven't watched the others, there is a playlist on YouTube of our church page. And this is, I think, this is the 12th lesson since I've been teaching these lessons on Monday night. It's the 7th lesson in the study of Genesis to Revelation. I encourage you, go back and watch the rest of them. Share these with your friends, your family, your children, your parents, your cousins, your neighbors. Share it. I think it could really help somebody. Knowing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, combined with our faith in Jesus Christ, will change your life. That's my desire, to be a part of God's plan in the world today. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.